Now, take another breath and relax. And we'll just have 5 minutes of relaxing sound.
Thank you.
And now just take a breath and open up to the wonderful words that Judy is going to give us today.
Thank you, Ed. One of the things I really like about preparing for talks is you get to experience, physically experience the intention that you set when you're preparing for the talk. And today's chapter is on the secret of spiritual power. And I'm warning you, some of you haven't heard me talk before. I am a New Englander. We tend to be a bit brief. So I may not go on and on and on ad infinitum. So I'll try to keep it short and sweet here. So by spiritual power, Holmes means a dynamic something which is intelligent, conscious of what it's doing, and able to do it without any external energy. And it's very different from physical power. You know, we see people that build their bodies up, but as good religious scientists, we need to build up our spiritual bodies as well, because it's not something you can see or you can touch. And it's not limited by your religion or belief system. You don't have to be a good Catholic or good Protestant or good Muslim to have spiritual power. We all have it. We just need to get in touch with it. And at some point in our lives, most of us become aware that there is a presence within us that's greater than we are, even if it's only briefly. And while it's important to have physical power, having that alone is probably not very satisfying. And certainly you don't want to live around somebody that's just into physical power and not spiritual power. It's like living in your head, not in your heart. And we really need both sides, the physical and the spiritual, to complete our lives. Excuse me, I need a drink. So years ago, there was a psychologist who did a study on the subjective thought of educated people. And he said that people that are over 35 years old that have a neurosis of one kind or another, it's almost always caused by some lack of a true religious experience. And it's as though the person's been starved of the very thing that makes life worth living. And I don't know about you guys, but have you ever run into somebody who is so left-brained that there's no room in their life for spirituality? They're constantly in their head and not in their heart. And when you're around them, do you feel like there's something missing? Do they seek only tangible items around them? Do they run their mouths all the time instead of listening? And yesterday I had a great experience of getting to observe some spiritual power developing within a group. My neighborhood had a picnic in my driveway, and we all brought food to share. And it started out, you know, hi, how you doing, that sort of thing. And as we moved the chairs closer together and we were eating and sharing the food and commenting on it, then we started talking about how much we love our neighborhood. And the conversation kept getting deeper and deeper. And then we started singing. And I got to witness the growth of spiritual power just within a group. We had moved from being in our heads, trying to get ready for this picnic, to truly loving and appreciating each other. And it was so much fun. It was like, oh yes, I like preparing for talks because I get to experience it too. So according to Holmes, there's nothing more tangible in the universe than thought. And I don't know about you, but I haven't really seen thought ever. You know, I don't see like clouds coming out of somebody's head, but I certainly have seen plenty of results of thought. And we see a lot of evidence in that. For instance, when you look at parents loving their children or couples that are in love, that's a tangible output of thought, a spiritual power. And have we ever seen the intelligence that converts food and drink into the bodies that we have today? For instance, does all the yogurt I eat help my teeth out or my bones? Well, there is an invisible process. And thank you, universe, for making that all work for me. And there's an infinite number of processes that take place that, you know, we probably take it for granted in our lives. But the more aware we are of our oneness with the universe, the more we can partake in its amazing ability to manifest. And it doesn't matter, like I said, where you go for religious services. It can be Muslim, Jewish, Protestant, Catholic, Buddhist, etc. And we can still connect to that magnificent power. Now, lately, I got to tell you, I've been reading a lot of Florence Scovel Shinn's books. I adore her writing. It's really easy to read. It's not too deep, and it's amazingly profound. And from her book, The Magic Path of Intuition, she says, "Modern science has proven that we live in a quantum field. And while it may seem as if we're surrounded by emptiness and air spaces, we're actually enfolded by a field of energy and energetic particles. This field of energy, in turn, reacts to your feelings and thought patterns, commonly known as, for lack of a better term, our vibrations. Thus, every thought which you think, every word you say, and by the way, she says, words arise from your thoughts anyhow, and every feeling you have has an effect on this energetic field. This effect, as science and religion have pointed out, is immediate and instantaneous. In other words, with your mind, you actually move matter and form." And this is so true. And I really appreciate the wisdom of her words and highly recommend you get hold of a book. They're readily available through Amazon. So tying her words to the chapter we just read, the secret to spiritual power is being aware of our union with all that is and the availability, abundant availability of goodness all around us. So if you're one of these super left brain people that lives within the limits of your brain, you may want to know how to become more aware, because it's fun. The most obvious answer is to meditate and spend time within, being aware of the presence that's greater than we are. Now, another option, and this is my personal preference, is to spend time in nature. I find it really difficult to stay absorbed in problems or getting my head in a twist. When I'm looking at beautiful flowers, listening to birds, or enjoying the sound of leaves rustling in the wind. And maybe it's, you know, listening to a sound bath like Ed just gave us. And I find it easy to move into a state of oneness when I'm around people that practice this on a regular basis. This is one reason why we have groups like this, so that if we forget, there's always ways we can reconnect. And it becomes easier then to discover this within us ourselves, excuse me, the seed of perfection that Walt Whitman referred to. Again, it's that seed of perfection that he talked about. We don't necessarily need to seek out trees or the beauty of nature if we're practicing sensing that spiritual power within us, because it's always there. And like I said yesterday, I was totally amazed at the rise of spiritual power when I was just sitting there with a group of friends eating and singing and carrying on. It was great. So when we do treatment, we are in touch with spiritual power, because we always start out with identifying with God and all that is. And we can always do treatment for people that are not in a room with us, or even maybe across the country or on another continent. And Holmes says there's no absence in the one presence. In the spiritual world, there is no here or there. It's just everywhere. And from a personal level, I've been practicing Reiki for probably over 30 years. And I don't do physical Reiki, I just do distance Reiki. But what's happened is that I grow in my understanding of spiritual power. I don't use the Reiki symbols anymore, because I've practiced so much Reiki, it's just automatic. But I find what I'm doing is things like setting intentions. And, you know, it's just as though my Reiki practice has fused with my treatments. And it's amazing. A few years ago, a friend who was dying told me that he felt my presence in the room with him on a regular basis. Well, guess what? I was sending him energy. And another friend who lives over in Europe and was having profound problems with her sight and with depression. I asked her, "You want me to, send you some energy?" And she said, "Sure." And I did for a period of several months. And then all of a sudden, she was magically better. She found the right doctors, everything flowed. And she is today free of vision problems. And she's also enjoying her life once again. And she told me, and again, she's living over in Europe, "I could feel your presence in the room with me." And so this is this isn't something you need a lot of training to do. I think it's available to everybody. If that's your intention, if you want to send healing presence to other people, you can do that. It's just amazing. When you start focusing on being part of that spiritual power, it just flows from there. So as I promised, this is an extremely short talk. in closing, I just want to say that the power I've been talking about for the past few minutes, this is something that's already inside of you. And I encourage you to spend a lot of time embracing it, welcoming it, encouraging it to come in. And so it is.
If I could ask everybody to mute, or if Dr. Carolyn, you can do some magic. Don't mute me, though, and it won't sound real good. But so we don't get any background noise, okay? Now, once again, let's just relax. And if you feel like it, take a deep breath. If you feel like it, close your eyes. Just relax in and have a nice, peaceful experience here.